Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
Oh, hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Believe You Me podcast with your hosts, Mr. Lewis J. Gomez and myself, Michael Bisping, Esquire. How are you today, Lewis?
I'm great. Why is it that it's very strange to listen to you do an impression of a British person?
Well, not really. That wasn't a British person. That was a hoity-toity. You know, a posh person. That's what I was doing. I wasn't doing a British person. No, I'm just I'm here in a suit. Yeah, that's why. I mean, it's a big deal for me. I expect you to up your game, Lewis. You know, we said new time on Thursdays, 10 a.m. Let's bring our A games. So I thought I'm putting a suit on. I've got my pocket square going. I put a tie on, gel in my hair. You didn't get the memo.
No, I mean, I rolled out of bed. That's what I wore to bed last night.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I swear to God. My hair is growing in, so I had to throw a hat on because I haven't shaved it.
Can I see?
You can see, yeah.
No, let's say, what do you mean your hair is? Because it doesn't look like any hair is growing
in. Well, yeah, it's not shaved the way that it should be.
It's still very, very shiny.
Yeah.
Very shiny.
I don't live my life like you. I walk my life in a different way. I never in my life, I believe, will ever have to put a suit on again.
Well, I like putting a suit on, actually. So, no, I was working for ESPN, 9:30 till 10, just talking about the fights this weekend. Of course, we're going to get into all of that stuff. And ESPN have a dress code. That's all it is. You know what I mean? And I didn't want to keep you guys waiting. And I thought, hey, if a suit is good enough for ESPN, then Believe in Me podcast is good enough for us to wear a suit or me to wear a suit.
Yeah, you know for a fact that wearing that suit, you were going to come on. I was going to be wearing a dirty T-shirt.
I didn't know that.
You were going to be able to fucking just throw it in my face. Because that's what you do. It's okay. No. It's okay. And I see you reading the comment on the side as well. And I agree with this. This is a wishful thinking on Brian's end. I said I wouldn't wear a suit ever again. And Brian said, what about when Harrington kills himself?
Yeah, well, that's not wishful thinking. That's just mean. But let me ask you, Lewis, when is the last time you actually donned a suit? And by the way, you can't throw shade on me because you roll out of bed, you don't get dressed, you don't brush your teeth or have a shower. That's not my fault. That's called personal hygiene. You might want to look into that. But when's the last time you had a suit on? Don't be offended. I saw your face there. It's a joke.
No, I was thinking whether or not I brushed my teeth.
Oh shit!
If
you want to take a second, then let's just take a second to hear from Colgate or teeth hygiene, and we use the code. No, when is the last time you wore a suit, Lewis?
Probably I guess to a wedding. My
Zach Amico's wedding. Is it? Is that his name? Who you do that podcast with? Is that his name?
Yeah, yes, it is Zach Amico, and I'm not sure if it was his wedding. Which, by the way, I walked his mother down the aisle. That's how fucking important I am in that man's life. This guy, if he got married, Bisping, I wouldn't even get. I would find out about it afterwards. I find out about it on Facebook.
I am married.
Again, you know what I mean.
It happened too late. It's gone. You know what I mean? I saw in the notes that Harrington put in there, Mike Tyson getting introduced by Bruce Buffer on a podcast. There's clips out there of me being introduced by Bruce Buffer on my wedding day. Okay? Simple as that. It's
so
done.
So that is the same level of importance. Mike Tyson on a podcast, the same level of importance as you and your lovely wife and your wedding day.
You mentioned weddings, and I'm just put the two and two together. There's a correlation. Harrington's talking about Tyson and Bruce Buffer, and you bring up the wedding. I'm like, oh, by the way, it all ties in. It's all connected. You know what I mean? That's why I get the Segway of the Year trophy. You know what I mean? You don't get that.
Rogan. I don't get that. I wish I did. I'm trying to think of any trophies that I've ever had. I'm trying to think of like, I mean, very few. I have had a couple trophies in my life, but they're all like participation. So in Just for Fun Baseball, I got a participation trophy.
Nice. Don't agree with it. Don't agree with it. You shouldn't get a trophy for participating. That's what's wrong with the world these days. If you lose, you lose. If you win, you get a fucking trophy. If you come 17th, tough shit. Go and work on your craft, okay? Good for you for trying, and I respect the effort. But if you come 17th, you get a job well done by your mum and dad. You maybe get to go to the donut shop on the way home or get a little cheeseburger or whatever tickles your fancy. But you don't get a participation trophy, medal, or whatever.
My little league coach tickled my fancy. Got into a lot of trouble for it.
That's why you don't brush your teeth these days.
No, but I got it. First of all, it's Just for Fun Baseball. These are like six-year-old kids. They don't even give you a score. They say it's a tie at the end of every game, and everyone gets pizza, and they just want everyone to feel good about themselves. It's not the dark, lonely fucking, I don't even know what, farmlands of wherever the fuck you grew up, where... You know,
but hold on. If everybody, I'm sorry to cut you off. If everybody gets a trophy and nobody wins, then that is killing the essence of sport. That is why even try? Why even try?
I completely agree with you. This is why I'm where I'm at right now, is because they gave me a fucking trophy and they didn't make me try. We were all winners. We all got to eat pizza. We shouldn't have even been having pizza. We were children playing a sport. They should have given us broccoli.
Shout out Jan Bisping for what I'm about to say, but because I know he listens to the podcast, but if I didn't win, I got the shit kicked out of me. Driving home in the back of the car, I fucking told you, oh, you had a fucking late night, da-da-da-da-da. I didn't drive down to fucking Nottingham for 4 hours and put this petrol in the car for you to fucking lose. And to be fair, you know, he has a point. He has a point. Thank you, Dad. Otherwise, I wouldn't have that I wouldn't have that fucking trophy behind me, son, would I?
You might still have the Segway trophy.
I'd have the Segway trophy.
Lewis, maybe you might even have a bigger Segway trophy. Who knows?
Do you get a trophy for what appeared to be bullying Harrington in the jiu-jitsu world? And you weren't even in a jiu-jitsu gym, rolling around in your garage and just tapping out Harrington, a man that doesn't know jiu-jitsu. I'll be honest, you still look like Harrington was giving you some trouble there as well.
Yeah, but still, that was one round.
Yeah, but still, come on, bro. Do you get a trophy for that?
I don't. So Harrington came over last night and we did a little workout in the garage. The garage is open again, baby boy, which I love. I mean, you're in California, so you get it year round. But for me, it's freezing out there. It's just been warm enough the past couple weeks. And Harrington came over and we did a really good like lift. And then afterwards we decided to roll. I wasn't bullying him. He wanted to go. It wasn't just me just bullying a guy. What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to not tap him out?
You're supposed to not put it all over social media and be so proud for tapping out Harrington. No offense to Harrington, you know, and no offense to you. Hey, you're hitting Kimura. Good for you, baby boy.
He really knows nothing, which is hilarious because he trains all the time, but he only will put boxing gloves on to train boxing. And I'm not good at jiu-jitsu at all, but when you know a little bit, it goes such a long way compared to somebody who knows nothing. I said, go take a fucking couple classes, be a white belt, you know, do it for a few months. You'll be able to handle yourself against some fucking schlub like Harrington.
So listen, here's what I want to know. Okay, you had a workout, good for you. You did some jiu-jitsu, you bullied Harrington about. I guarantee when he tapped, you held on those submissions for a little bit too long. It's whatever, it is what it is. And then fast forward on Instagram to the breakfast, right? So there's you two last night, you're getting up close and personal, you're bonding, right? You're feeling each other's sweat, you're rolling around, and then it cuts. And the next minute, you're both there. You're in your pajamas and you're cooking breakfast for Harrington. I want to know what went on between. What wasn't on Instagram that the world didn't get to see?
I didn't realize the perspective of people watching where it just cuts. Oh, here, this is...
You're rolling around as grown men, right? You're doing jiu-jitsu. Very good, very good. And then it cuts and you're making him breakfast.
Yeah,
and
fast forward. Keep on fast forward through them because you'll see. I didn't realize this.
Go to the next story.
Yeah, you gotta keep on just going.
He's going. Here's Lewis just showing off because he's tapping. And then there it is. He's cooking breakfast. I'm like, whoa. Oh, hey, listen, God bless you. God bless you.
Those
you
know, are keto pancakes, by the way. This is not a sponsor. That they were fucking phenomenal. Harrington, how good were those keto pancakes?
Well, they were super duper tasty, Louis. They were great.
Why are you talking that? Harrington is doing a new thing lately where he's saying super duper tasty. And he said, he's like, golly. Oh, wow. Don't. These are delicious. I swear to God.
You're not allowed to say golly on this podcast. If anybody says golly, gosh, it's going to be me, Harrington. So don't come on here and trying to out-British me, sir. But I'll go on. How were the pancakes, Harrington?
Gee whiz, they were great.
They were fucking delicious. Really, really good keto pancakes.
Devil's advocate.
Devil's avocado.
I was going to message you, but I thought, no, I'm not that big of a dickhead. Because, you know, when I had a little splodge of ketchup on my eggs or whatever, you're very lecturous. Very lecturous. Lecturous. Whatever.
That's not a word.
It is. You became very lecturous. You were lecturing me.
No way. Is lecturous a word?
I believe so. In my mind, it is. I've been using it for 20 years. Google that shit right now, somebody.
That is a crazy way to say that.
You became very lecturous. Let's have a look. I'm gonna put it in right now. I hope so.
I want you to make your point.
Lecturous. Hold on.
I want you to make your point because I have my counter.
Lecturous. Comparative. More lecturous. Superlative. Most lecture of a speech or a text that has the qualities of a lecture.
Wow.
Or a person. Boom. I think biz
being well, now you're being pretty lecturous, to be honest with
darling,
you.
Darling, darling, darling. It's not my fault that you didn't get an education. No, what was I saying? Oh, yeah. I didn't want to be lecturous, right? But I was going to say, if you really want to keep it keto, just don't have the pancakes. You don't need the pancakes. I thought you were on this diet. I thought you were going right about now, Jamaica, come on, right? But you're not invested in this, Lewis. You're still having pancakes. And the keto pancakes, all right, maybe they're better than regular pancakes, but they're still pancakes.
No, they're not. They're fucking keto pancakes.
They're called keto pancakes. They're pancakes.
There's 0 grams of carbs. There's no fucking carbs. It's made with eggs as the main ingredient and whatever, like... almond flour or whatever they use. It's fucking phenomenal. I'm not wrong. I thought you were going to talk about the syrup.
I didn't say you were wrong with the syrup. Okay, that's that. I mean, where did we start? Where did we start? Where did we end?
But, sugar-free maple syrup, keto-friendly maple syrup.
Oh, God, what's the world coming to? Probably tastes like absolute fucking garbage.
It was delicious. I'm telling you right now, I usually hate keto pancakes. They usually taste like eggs. And these were legitimately really, really good. I'll give you I'll send you a picture of the.
No, I don't need them. Because if I have pancakes, the only time I have pancakes is if I've got chocolate chips in them. Otherwise, I'm not interested. So if I'm having pancakes, it's a cheat meal or it's a treat. Not a cheat meal. It's a treat. I want pancakes with chocolate chips and a big fucking dollop of whipped cream.
You can do sugar-free whipped cream. You can do sugar-free chocolate chips.
I don't give a fuck. If I'm dieting, I'm dieting. I don't need to tickle my fancy or soothe my senses.
You leave your fancy out of this.
Yeah, you know what I mean. If I'm in for a penny, I'm in for a pound. Stick your keto pancakes up your fucking ass, Lewis. You know what I mean. Call yourself
a
man.
Such a dick.
You call yourself a man. Oh, Harrington, would you like some more keto pancakes, darling? Oh, pass me the sugar-free syrup, please. Would you, dear? Oh, and he calls himself, I do the most offensive podcast on the world. I'm a real ass dude. Harrington, more sugar-free syrup, darling. Oh, and you can't have any sugar in anything whatsoever. Because
we're doing a no-sugar challenge right now. It's your idea.
No, I was doing the no-sugar challenge. You fucked it off. You fucked it off. You didn't give a shit. You didn't get on board. I wanted to do a challenge with the listeners. People could take the shirts off, send us dick pics, whatever they want. What? Okay.
Now we get to the bottom of his plan.
I wanted to see naked men, okay? So Doggy, what?
Bisping, this is a little bit of insight into the psychopath that Michael Bisping
is. The psyche?
Yeah, like it is just the whole sugar-free thing was his idea. If his wife had made him sugar-free keto pancakes, he would be ranting and raving right now and calling me an idiot and calling me stupid. It's just whatever. He has no conviction. He doesn't. He has a suit on. He says whatever comes to his mind. He just says
no. Not well. Yeah, on this podcast, we're just fucking spitballing. We're freestyling. We're shooting from the hip. Pow, 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 pow. But the way I live my life, Lewis, you know, I'm very regimented and disciplined. You know, I just don't have to talk about it constantly ad nauseum. You know, every single fucking episode. I mean, what? Tell me about your injury. What injury is it this time?
It's your injuries.
No. It's my surgeries. It's not my little boo-boos.
You can't.
It's a difference. You can't. Major surgeries, knee replacements, they're talking points. Spraining your fucking elbow is not a talking point.
You cannot assign to me that I am the person on this show who talks about their injuries. That is your thing.
Hey, I'll tell you off air, but you can assign things. This is a good little one. This is a good little dig, but you can assign things. Things can be assigned. Ooh, yeah, things can be assigned. You know who. Anyway, I'll tell you later.
What?
Doesn't matter. Never mind. Moving on. But what we were talking about, I just got carried away there.
This is the craziest beginning to any show that we've ever done. And look.
It's because I haven't got my SpongeBob cup.
I will say I'm stoned.
Oh, God.
I'm very stoned. I'm back on the weed. Jamaica's coming up.
I don't know. You came on here all righteous. I haven't had a drink in 3 weeks now. Do you know what I mean?
I haven't had a drink since December 7th.
I don't talk about it. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, you do.
I mentioned it. I haven't mentioned it for ages. What are you talking about? I mean, look at these. Look at these cheekbones. Look at those dimples. Fuck me. I'm quitting this podcast. I'm going to be a model now. That's what I'm doing. I'm getting hit up by Calvin Klein. What are the fucking out-of-brand businesses? Calvin Klein. That's not really top of the tree these days. Sergio Tacchini.
Ooh, Tacchini.
Alessi. Fila. Ooh. They all want a piece of this. Anyway, what are we talking about? What's going on?
You're out of your mind. Know.
Yeah, it's the suit, you see.
You know, it's the suit and the new horse. Congratulations. We don't want to make it horse talk every week, but it should be a little bit of a segment every week. It is a new thing in your life. You should give the people an update. You purchased the horse. That horse is in your life right now.
The horse is in our life, and it's in the stables all alone right now. Rebecca is a terrible mother. Poor little Mikey's shitting his pants right now. He's like, where am I? I'm in a new place. I don't know where I am. Doesn't know what's going on. Okay, Rebecca, get your ass to the stables. No, I don't want to. Oh, and that's a fucking nice horse. That's a nice horse. Next picture, please. Boom. Hold on. All right. No, forget it. Never mind. There's me doing lives about NFTs. Follow our NFT on Instagram, incidentally. We got the horse. We talked about it the last two episodes. Let's not do that again. Maybe we'll wait a few episodes before I have a little anecdote about the horse, because there will be some. For sure. I mean, we do know this. The horse, I'm just going to say this, though, because it's in the spirit of the Believe You Me podcast. He used to be a stallion. Jesus Christ. You want to see the size of the penis on this thing?
Really?
And I'm not being childish, but like the other day when I first went there, he got a little bit aroused. And I was like, oh, my God, that thing's offensive.
Well, he's in the presence of a champion.
Yeah, and this leads me into a perfect segue. Francis Ngannou this weekend, taking on Stipe Miocic. Oh, no, we'll leave the horse talk there.
Mike, real quick, let's just take a quick moment and thank one of our incredible sponsors, which is BetDSI.com. I love BetDSI.com. They make it so easy to go and bet on all of your favorite sports, everything from the NBA to the NFL to the NHL, Major League Baseball, and obviously mixed martial arts. This weekend, massive heavyweight title fight. What a better way to enjoy the fight than go on to BetDSI and put some cash down.
Yeah, listen, of course, because if you go to BetDSI.com and you use the promo code MADME, you're not going to believe this. It's the perfect code because it is mad. You're going to get 123% bonus match. That means if you put on, this is testing my knowledge here, but if you put on $100, you're going to get an extra $123 to play with. And I'm
How
just
much
saying,
is that total, Bisping?
That all totals $223. Ooh. And you only put $100 down. Now, of course, the proviso is that you need to win. Unfortunately, you get that wrong, you're still screwed. Okay, but if you get it right, which if you listen to my picks and not Lewis's or Harrington's, there's a good chance that you might get it right. But still, any of those sports that you mentioned, if it's got three letters, they're fucking letting you put bets on. UFC, NBA, NHL, Premier League football. Boom, PFL, but it's not the PFL, but there you go. You get what I'm trying to say, Lewis.
I really do. And I'll tell you right now, BetDSI also has a really easy to use interface. They have 24/7 customer service and they have fast payouts, which is important. All right. So remember, go to BetDSI.com right before you watch the fight this weekend. Put some cash down on whoever you think is going to win the main event.
Did you tell them about the customer service, Lewis, and how they are available 24/7, 365?
I did. You were not listening.
Apparently I wasn't. After that, I do apologize. But I wanted to reiterate the fantastic customer service that BetTheAside.com is known for. Of course, we always joke around on the ads. But as Lewis said, very, very easy to use. And if you're going to put some money on, I mean, come on. This is the biggest heavyweight title fight that's happened for a long, long time. No disrespect to DC, but this one is special. So put some money on, okay? Put some money on, win some money. Use that promo code when you go to BetTheAside.com. Mad me. You're going to get a 123% bonus match. Lewis, tell them about some of the provisos, though.
Yeah, there is a rollover requirement, which means you do have to gamble a certain amount of times if you use that bonus money. So just know that. But either way, whether you use the bonus money or not, use that promo code MADME. Go have some fun this weekend. Enjoy the fight.
But where should we start, Lewis? What should we get into, bud? Anything on your mind that you want to discuss or want to talk about? Participation trophies?
Yeah, I mean, look, the participation trophies aside, you know, we have a huge fight this weekend. Heavyweight championship of the world, massive, massive fight. We did lose one of the title fights, but that's okay. It's going to happen. Sometimes these things happen. But, you know, I think we should talk about that.
I agree. I think that's an excellent starting point. Stipe Miocic, the greatest heavyweight champion that the UFC has ever seen. Do you agree with that, Lewis? Harrington, come on, and do you agree with that also while Lewis thinks?
It's going to be here for the next 15 minutes.
Wow. Okay, this is a great chat. On paper, he is. I don't care what
That's
you say.
That's what I was going to say. On paper, he is.
Well, who else is there?
Well, how do you define, like, greatest? Harrington,
come on. Winning fights. That's how I define it. Winning fights, defending the belt. It's pretty simple. When it comes to fighting, it's how many you win, how many times you win the belt, defend the belt, and how you do it. You know, and I think when you look at all those factors, Stipe Miocic is without doubt. If you look at the people that he's beaten, I think when he lost to, who did he lose to? Stefan Struve, Junior Dos Santos, pardon me. The last time before DC, then he went on a tear. You know, Dos Santos again, there was Arlovsky was in there, there was Mark Hunt was in there, there was, you know, there was all big, big names. Of course, he won the title against Fabrizio Verdum, walking backwards with the fucking right hand. But Harrington, do you believe he's the greatest of all time?
Yeah, I mean, no one else has defended the belt three times. He's defended it, what, four times total now? He had the three in a row, and then he had the loss to Cormier, beat Cormier for the belt again, and then has defended it since. I mean, they're, you know, for a sport where the heavyweight division especially is just so much turnover at the top. No one has been able to reign long as a champion. There hasn't been the Anderson Silva or GSP of that division. Stipe is the closest we've ever come. So to me, yeah, he's the GOAT.
I think that's actually a really good point. You know, there hasn't been somebody who just reigned supreme for a long time. It's been sort of turnover. Even when you think somebody's going to be the dude, everyone thought it was going to be Kane, that nobody was going to ever be able to beat Kane. And, you know,
C-level Kane or regular Kane?
Regular Kane, obviously. But, yeah, I think that, look, Stipe, I don't know why. When you just sort of say greatest, first of all, heavyweight, when you're talking about pound for pound, heavyweight is at the top of the pound for pound. So you're talking about the heavyweight guy is supposed to be able to be the best out of everybody. He's supposed to be truly the baddest man on the planet, right? So it's a weird thing because I don't know why I don't get the same feeling about Stipe that I did about somebody like a GSP or even like an Anderson Silva when he cleared at 185.
Well, that's because the man's just so humble and he's not out there going to red carpets. He doesn't have, you know, the man still works as a fireman, for crying out loud. But before we go into that even deeper and we talk about the actual fight with Ngannou, this is an interesting conversation. So I've got a list here of all the heavyweight champions in a row in chronological order, darling. And that is a word as well, Lewis. So first ever UFC heavyweight champion. Who was it, Lewis? Any idea?
First ever UFC heavyweight
Harrington,
champion.
Harrington, don't look at your computer and answer the questions like a man.
All right, we're gonna do a trivia challenge between me and Harrington. Fine.
Not really, because it'll take fucking hours to get through all the heavyweight champions. But just opening question: who was the first ever UFC heavyweight champion?
Heavyweight. I'm gonna remember when they made the actual heavyweight belt. It was not Mark.
Going on too long. I'm gonna step in there, sir. You've run out of time, Mr. Gomez.
It was Mark Coleman.
Correct. Too late though. Who defeated Mark Coleman? And it was a beautiful head kick. Harrington over there.
I was going to guess Maurice Smith, but I don't think it was.
It is Maurice Smith.
It was Maurice Smith. Then who was the next? After Maurice Smith, who was the next heavyweight champ? Randy Couture. Yes, stop looking at the screens and cheating, you assholes.
I'm not cheating. Are you fucking kidding me?
All right, who was the next champ after Randy Couture?
He might have been one in
1999.
I got it. Brazilian kickboxer.
Incorrect, sir. Harrington, anything?
I was going to guess Dan Severn. We haven't gotten to him yet, so he's got to be on.
Wrong as well. No, please be quiet. No. When I say you're wrong, you don't have the right to talk any longer. The answer you're looking for is Baz Rutan. He defeated Kevin Randleman at UFC 20. Still, who was the next UFC heavyweight champion after that? Lewis,
I'll start
with you.
Oh, that's why I was thinking of people who beat Randy.
Well, whatever. Who was the next one? Stay on topic, please. Focus. Harrington, anyone? Time's up. Kevin Randleman. And then after that, it was Randy Couture again. Time's up. Who was after Randy Couture the next time? Five.
Brazilian kickboxer.
Two. Incorrect. Josh Barnett. Okay.
Brazilian kickboxer Josh Barnett.
Josh Barnett is from Fullerton. He lives down the street, okay?
He is from Brazil. He lied to you.
Who then defeated Randy Couture at UFC 39 to claim the UFC heavyweight title? UFC 39, who was it?
Brazilian kickboxer.
He was not a Brazilian. You're thinking of Pedro Rizzo.
Yes.
Not Pedro Rizzo.
I'm thinking of Pedro Rizzo.
He's an old mate of mine, Rico Suave Rodriguez.
We had him on the radio show.
Who was the next heavyweight champion after that? I'll give you a hint. He's very gangly. He's very
Tim
ugly.
Sylvia.
Yeah, there you go. Who was after that? He might have been
Frank
involved.
Mir.
Yeah, stop looking at the screen. You
I'm not, you fucking bitch.
I can see. Why aren't you looking at me then? You're looking
Doggy,
at the screen.
I'm looking at you on the screen. My hands are up here. What are you talking about? I swear
you
to God.
You don't need your hands to read off the screen, you lying piece of shit. All right, who beat Frank Mir? Who took the belt? Oh, no, no. This is weird. So Frank Mir was the
champ. He got into a car accident. He got into a motorcycle accident.
Yeah, that's right. So he was.
And then Tim Sylvia got it again.
No, Andre Arlovski.
Andre Arlovski, but then Tim Sylvia got it from Andre Arlovski.
Then Tim Sylvia. And then who came out of retirement to slay the giant Tim Sylvia?
Randy Couture.
Once again, Randy Couture. I mean, you got to say, if anyone's going to give...
Randy might be the greatest heavyweight of all time.
A run for his money. Randy's name's in there a lot.
Dude, Randy's no joke.
Who beat Randy?
Brock.
Oh, no, who
Brock.
Beat Tim Sylvia? Who beat Tim Sylvia? Because then Randy must have fucked off. And then Tim Sylvia came on and fought for an interim heavyweight title.
Here.
Antonio Rodrigo Nogueira. Beaten by guillotine, I believe, in the fifth round. I was there live. And little story for you. I heard this. I heard that when... And take this with a pinch of salt. But I heard on good authority that Lorenzo Fertitta went into the locker room just to say to the guys, you know, have a great fight tonight. And Tim Sylvia said, hey, when I win this fight... get your fucking checkbook ready. And then Tim Sylvia lost. And I don't think we saw Tim Sylvia in the UFC once again, because you don't speak to somebody like that. That's just fucking stupid. Next heavyweight champ, let's go. Lineage of Heavyweight Champion podcast, Brock Lesnar. Call yourself a wrestling fan.
Okay. I can keep going from there.
Go on then.
Lost it to Kane.
Next heavyweight champion, Shane Carwin, defeats Frank Mir via first round.
Oh, yeah, the interim champion.
Oh, Harrington, you got very smug there. And then Cain Velasquez. And then, come on, now this is more recent now. Yeah. Lewis, you know who beat Cain Velasquez. One Punch, 2011, Honda Center, debut on Fox. Junior Dos Santos, very good, very good. Then who took the belt back off Junior Dos Santos?
Cain Velasquez.
Cain Velasquez. This is boring podcasting, I think. And then who got it? Fabrizio Verdum. Then it was Stipe. Then it was DC. Then it was Stipe. And then here we are. Anyway, there you go.
I'll tell you right now, Randy Couture gives Stipe a real run for his money. And it's especially because, remember, Randy wasn't a true heavyweight. Randy was a 205-pounder. And, you know, he was the fucking... Dude, Randy was the All-American. He's so iconic. And, dude, Randy Couture didn't have that crazy out-there personality. He didn't sell himself like he was God's gift, right? Randy was super humble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he... Whatever it was, right place, right time, Randy had something about him that was an it factor that people really connected with. But I'll tell you right now, Stipe, I think, still has a little bit of work to do in order to overtake Randy as the greatest heavyweight of all time.
Disagree. Disagree. Because if you look at the people that Randy Couture defeated, you're talking Tim Sylvia's, you're talking, I don't know, whoever the fuck it was. You know what I mean? The level of competition just wasn't there. Look at the modern heavyweights that Stipe's beating. He's beating Junior Dos Santos. He's beating Francis Ngannou. He's beating Daniel Cormier, Mark Hunt. You know what I mean? The level of competition, maybe not Mark Hunt, he was just a banger, wasn't very well rounded, but still, you know what I mean, mixed martial arts has progressed. The level of the heavyweights now compared to Shane Carwin, compared to Tim Sylvia and people like that, Randy was great. Randy should have a special place in the history books, but I still believe, in my opinion, Stipe Miocic, greatest of all time heavyweight.
Well, I mean, with that in mind, devil's advocate, you know, then your average 205 pounder in the UFC is better than, you know, a guy like Chuck Liddell or a guy like, you know, who you know, it was just the time, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, Chuck Liddell was knocking out a bunch of guys who now couldn't compete. So
yeah,
but I just think iconic.
Randy, but the conversation is Chuck Liddell the greatest light heavyweight of all time? With respect, it's Stipe or Randy. That's what it's evolved into. And I would say that look, the sun's just come out and I've got it significantly brighter. But listen, Stipe's beating better competition. I think Randy does deserve a place in the history books for sure. And he's got that, you know, there's not two ways about it. But Stipe Miocic. All right, okay, let's talk about this fight though. Talk about the fight with Francis Ngannou. I'm going to waffle on for a bit about it. So, Lewis, I'll let you get in there first. What do you think? How do you think it goes down? And what do you think happens? What are the, you know, the narratives of the fight?
I mean, to be honest with you, I was sort of leaning toward Ngannou for a little bit just because, he's just such a beast and he could knock anybody out. But Stipe, he already fought him to a decision. You know, Stipe, he has a chin of steel. People are talking about, you know, how much Ngannou has improved. Stipe has likely improved just as much as Ngannou's improved. So there's just nothing logically speaking that would make me think that Stipe is going to lose this fight. And honestly, as we're talking about Stipe being the greatest heavyweight of all time, that's another reason why I sort of have to put my faith behind Stipe, because I've sort of shifted. I'm definitely picking Stipe. And I think it's just because I think he's a really smart fighter and I think he's got a really well-rounded skill set. It's not just one punch. It's not one path to victory for Stipe. It's multiple paths to victory. He can knock him out. He can out-wrestle him. He can out-grapple him. He can submit him. So I think Stipe is vastly underrated. And I think it's just because we see Ngannou and he's so like larger than life. I think you want to see somebody like that win and succeed. And it's exciting to sort of put put yourself behind that. But I think Stipe's fought the guy before and beaten him before, so why wouldn't he be able to do it again?
Well, because Francis Ngannou has improved, and I think that's the real conversation point here, right? Can Ngannou improve on the first fight, right? Because he's a victim of his own success, Ngannou. You know, early when he came to the UFC, he was just banging everybody out. I think he had one submission by a Kimura, but he was finishing everybody and he wasn't getting the ring time, you know? And it's all well and good going out there and destroying people. It's awesome. It's fucking awesome as a fan and it's awesome as a fighter. Nothing feels better, but you're not really learning much. And in fact, if anything, you might develop bad habits. Now, okay, fair enough. If he's got good coaches, they're going to work on all that stuff in between fights, in the training camps. But I don't know too much about that. But still, in fighting, when you have to fight through adversity, if you have to go to a decision, if you're in a bad position, if you're underneath and someone's taking you back and you're getting pounded on the head, but you got to work out of that fight, or at the end of the first round, you're covered in blood, and then the next round you go out and you turn it round, you know, you learn valuable lessons. You get that experience. Experience is the key word, and I say it all the time, but that cannot be bought. It has to be earned. And right now, Francis Ngannou, through no fault of his own, is not really gathering that experience. What he is gathering, though, is time in the sport. Time has passed. I mean, when was that first loss? That was 2018. So almost 3 years away. Oh, no, January. Yeah, over 3 years. So 3 years has passed. Since then, obviously, he lost to Stipe in dominant fashion. And it was 50-44, I think, across all the boards. So he lost every round. He got taken down. He got, you know, exposed, if you will, in terms of his wrestling weakness and his gas tank. And he was aware of that and he made some changes. But then, since then, he had that snooze fest against Derek Lewis. Nobody wants to see that again. But then four KOs. We've talked about this. Curtis Blaydes, Cain Velasquez, Junior Dos Santos, Junior Jairzinho Rozenstruik. All inside one round with the longest fight going 1 minute and 11.
But I think that's not necessarily a good thing. You know,
No. That's my point. That's the point that I'm making. He's gone out there. And again, I like Ngannou. I do. You know, I've spoken to him a number of times. He's a great guy. You know, I mean, I don't know him that well, but I've always had good interactions with him. I fucking love watching him as a fighter. He's unreal, man. I never miss an Ngannou fight. It's like Mike Tyson back in the day. Do you know what I'm saying? And I think he's probably the hardest hitting combat sports athlete on the planet. In fact, he holds the record, I think, for the hardest punch. And they said it was something like a Ford Escort car hitting you at 40 miles an hour. I think that's what they said.
Ford Escort? That's such a strange, small car to choose.
hey, I don't want to get hit by a Ford Escort at 40 miles an hour. I don't want to get hit by any Ford. But still, so the point I'm making is, yeah, he's gone out there. He's dominated everybody. But that's not his fault. Now, Stipe Miocic is going to come into this one. He's been there before. He's done it. He's beaten him already. Right? He's shown that he can take his punches. But you don't want to do that. I mean, if you look at Daniel Cormier, DC knocked him out. Okay, the perfect shot, perfect timing, perfect placement. But if DC can knock him out, then for sure, Francis Ngannou can knock him out, right? And, you know, Francis is talking about he's improved his wrestling and his coaches are saying that all he's done is wrestle. All he's done is wrestle, you know. But when he goes out there and fights, he doesn't fight like that. He just swings for the fucking fences. And he's been doing the rounds this week on Twitter and on social media. Pardon me. I just had that protein shake. That just repeated on me. I apologize. Burping into the microphone. But it was doing the rounds this week on Twitter. When Francis knocked out Jairzinho Rozenstruik, he just goes forward and he's swinging like crazy. And technically, it's awful, right? Technically, it's bad. But he's just so goddamn powerful. He can take that chance. He can swing because eventually he's going to find the mark with one of them. If he's throwing 6, 7, 8, 9 punches, one of them's going to get through. And when it did, it gets the job done. If you compare that to Stipe, he's highly conditioned. He can go 5 rounds, no problem, right? He's got a more diverse skill set in terms of striking. He's throwing a lot of kicks, a lot of jabs. He's using feints, misdirection, footwork. And of course, he's got the ability to mix in the wrestling. You know, so it's an interesting fight because all Ngannou needs is that one shot. So the first round, like always, against a powerful guy like Francis is going to be the really, really tricky one for Stipe. I think when I see him go out there, he's going to maybe utilize a bit of footwork. Or if he's smart, if it was my approach, I would use a bit of footwork, frustrate Ngannou a bit. And then when he tries to chase him down, shoot a double leg, try and get him up against the fence, stall him there. And if he can get a takedown, that's even better. And then just try and get out that first round. And every time he gets out, every second after that first round, the balance of favor, it's all tipping towards Stipe's favor.
I mean, how much do you think that Stipe has improved in the past 3 years since they fought as well, right? Because that sort of was the X factor. You're talking about the improvement of Ngannou. Stipe as well, going to improve. Championship life, you know, best training partners in the world, best facilities in the world, best, you know, trainers in the world, opportunities for the absolute best. You know, you tasted the championship life. You know the difference between before you were a champion and after you were a champion. Does that mean anything for Stipe as an advantage or maybe even a disadvantage? Remember the scene from Rocky where he was like sort of the lights were going off and, you know, the he was getting distracted by the media and that was a distraction, I guess.
And he had robots.
Yeah.
He had fucking robots. No, listen, if you look at Stipe on the embeddings this week, Stipe's in there. Last one before he flies off to Vegas, he's sweeping the floors at the fire station. You know, and a lot's made of the fact he's still a fireman. That's
terrible,
awesome.
Terrible training strategy.
Well, it fucking worked for Karate Kid. Wipe the floor.
Why is Stipe painting the wall?
Yeah. Gooseneck. But no. So, you know, he's still a humble guy. Still very, very humble. He's mopping the floors. But that humility, that humbleness, humility, is very, very powerful for him as a fighter. As I say, he's not out there living the celebrity lifestyle. He's still, I mean, I don't know him. I don't know what he's doing when the cameras aren't on, but from what he's doing when the cameras are on.
Throws that mop at another fireman. Yeah,
you never know. As soon as the camera goes off, he goes, listen, dickhead, clean that up. Where's my pedicure and my massage, please? You never know, because, right, you know, that's his whole brand. But still, I don't think it's an act. He's still very, very humble. So what does that mean? That means he's still going to push himself in training, you know, because it means a lot to him. Remember when Stipe won the belt, when he knocked out Fabrizio Verdum, he was in shock and he was just screaming, "I'm the champion of the world. I'm the world champion," over and over and over again. You can see how much it meant to him. Of course, it means a lot to everybody, right? This is life-changing stuff. For Francis Ngannou, if he loses this fight, he's going to have a hard time getting another title shot. Saying that, I don't know, actually. All he's going to do is just bingo three other people and he's right back there again. Yeah. And as soon as Stipe retires, he'll be
3 minutes of work.
But again, it's not 3 minutes of work, is it? It's the training camps and everything that go into it. But all right, Lewis, what is your official pick?
My official pick is Stipe decision. Or you know what? Honestly, he could even knock him out. I wouldn't be surprised if he did like a fourth round, late knockout, fourth, fifth round. He stops him with a TKO. I think he's going to do it. It really is. Does Stipe get knocked out early? Does that happen first or second round? Or does he weather that early storm and take him down, use his wrestling? I think he's going to be able to do it. I think Stipe is really smart. I think Stipe, you know, we've seen the fight already. So I think he's going to be able to emulate what he did in the first fight. So that's my official pick.
Yeah, no, I agree. And by the way, listen, before we do a podcast like this, Lewis, you can't go and watch my genius on ESPN. Because that's
what happened.
That's okay. What I said on ESPN. That's why I'm dressed like this. And now you're just quoting my shit back to me.
Obviously.
What the fuck, Lewis? Yeah, no, listen, it's the first round, right? That's the real dangerous part, as I said, for Stipe. But once he gets out of there, yeah, I see, obviously, Ngannou can win by a knockout. Of course, we know that. But will it happen? I'm going to put my money on Stipe. I think he gets out the first round. I think he gets takedowns. I think it'll be harder than the first fight. And remember that first fight, even though Stipe won, Stipe left in a stretcher. That's how, you know, there's no easy way to victory against Francis Ngannou. Even though you're going to beat him, you might win on the scorecards or whatever. You're still going to go through hell. You know, you're still going to be sore for the next few days against that absolute beast of a man. But yeah, I think I can see Stipe taking him down and getting a TKO in round 4 or 5, wearing him down, getting him tired. Francis, I think, is a little lighter this time, you know, so that'll be good for him. He'll have a better gas tank. But I think for Stipe Miocic, I think he's going to come in with a chip on his shoulder because I think, again, he's still the underdog at the bookies. He was a big underdog. I think the line's closed a bit now as more money's coming in on Stipe.
Which is annoying because I wanted to bet on him and then it closed a lot, actually.
Yeah. But I think he's going to come in with a chip on his shoulder and want to get the finish. And remember, he just had the two fights with Daniel Cormier. DC, tremendous wrestler. Excuse me, that bloody protein shake. But one of the best wrestlers the heavyweight division, if not the best wrestler the heavyweight division has ever seen. So what is Stipe doing in those training camps? He's working on wrestling. You know what I mean? Offensively and defensively. So I think Stipe's wrestling game will be even better coming into this one. And yeah, to your point, I think a ground and pound stoppage isn't off the cards. But I got Stipe winning. And if I give my ESPN pick, Stipe Miocic, fourth round, TKO, put your money on that. That's the pick.
Harrington.
You got to compete with Chael Sonnen, you see. Chael Sonnen screaming his fucking shit down the thing.
I know. Chael's so good, dude.
Yeah.
I watch his videos and I'm like, damn, he's good.
I'm going to meet the energy. Round 4, TKO, you dickhead. Harrington, who you got?
I just don't see anybody going 10 full rounds with Francis Ngannou and not getting knocked the fuck out. So I'm going to pick Francis.
Yeah, well, that's a safe bet, pick, you know, because that is a possibility. And it's actually a really good point, Harrington, you know, because 10 rounds is a long time to go without getting caught by that shot. And as we know, Francis doesn't need a flush shot, you know, and if he hurts you with one, the next one is going to put you out or put you down.
Does he have a lot of late round or late fight stoppages?
No.
So that's what I'm saying. I mean, and I know he, I mean, I don't know if he gassed in the first fight as much
he
as
did.
He was getting beaten.
They go hand in hand.
Sure. Right. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, look, it's not that he's got to last 10 rounds. He's got to last 2 more rounds. He's got to get through those first 2 rounds with Francis. And then I think he'll be able to, once he sort of weathers that storm, you said that earlier, Bisping, it's about that first round. I think then it'll be pretty much smooth sailing for Stipe. I really do. But We'll see. It's very exciting, dude. Heavyweight championship of the world is always the most exciting it could possibly be. So,
my bearing in mind, also, right, in the first fight, Stipe did essentially out-wrestle him to victory. It wasn't that simple, but that, you know, if you were to put it into a sentence, that's pretty much what he did. How's that going to affect Francis? Because I know when I was fighting, if I was fighting a wrestler and I'd struggled with some getting taken down in previous fights, there was a hesitation to throw punches, you know, because every time you do, you get taken down. So maybe that might, Francis will probably be more cautious. You know, as I said, the Jorginho fight, he went out there with a blaze of aggression, just swinging like crazy. Who knows? He might do that this time and he might catch Stipe. But I would have thought the smart approach is that he'll be a little more tactical, a little more strategic. He'll look for the openings. When the time is right, of course, explode, because that's what makes him so great. But if he takes his time too much, again, it plays into Stipe's hands. So it's really interesting to see the approach of both fighters. More importantly, Francis Ngannou. We know what Stipe is going to do. Right, that's the path to victory for Stipe is obvious, but I'm intrigued to know the approach of Ngannou. Is he just going to come out and say fuck it and try and get the takedown, or is he going to show a little more maturity, a little more discipline in his approach? Because, in my opinion, that's what he needs to do.
I mean, look, Stipe might want to be proving a point as well, because Stipe can knock anybody out in the world, so he might just say fuck this dude, I'm going to knock out Francis Ngannou and shut everybody up.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And well, I think he can do that. I mean, listen, he knocked out Fabrizio Verdum going backwards, knocked out Junior Dos Santos. Who else? Andrei Arlovsky. There's more than that, but still, they're the ones that come to mind. He's got knockout power. Simple as that. As I say, when he knocked out Verdum, he was walking backwards. Granted, Verdum got a bit excited and was running towards him with his chin in the air, but still, he's got the power to do it. And Francis, yeah, okay, Francis is tough. He's got a chin. The guy... I say it all the time. He's the scariest mother effer on the planet. Simple as that. Do you know what I mean? There's not a man alive that I would rather not go up against in a pub than Francis Ngannou. And that goes for all your boxers out there as well. Simple as that. I guarantee if Francis Ngannou went over to heavyweight box, he's not technical enough. But in terms of sheer power, I think he has the most power out of any. You know, you got Anthony Joshua, Tyson Fury, way better technically. Way better technically, but Ngannou has got more power than anyone else in combat sports right now.
You say in a bar though, there's nobody else that you wouldn't rather go up against. But I feel like Francis Ngannou is also a gentleman. Like, he's just gonna knock you out. He's not gonna keep going. I feel like there's some nasty individuals in the world who, like, in a bar fight, will just keep going. He'll grab a weapon.
Think Francis Ngannou is a fucking gentleman, bro. Bro, I'm not telling the stories. No, I never said he was a piece of shit. I'm saying, listen, anyone, just because you know he talk quietly like this, okay, and he's a gentle giant, you know, a man this size does not need to shout, does not need to raise my voice, okay? Francis Ngannou, they call me the predator by name. I am predator by nature. The man's a fucking animal. The man's a psychopath. Let's be honest. You think we get to this point fighting in cages by being gentlemen? All right, there's a few exceptions to the rule. Let's say a Rory McDonald, but he's a fucking psychopath as well. There's something off about Rory McDonald.
Oh, yeah, he's got a look in his eye like he's hurt people, yeah, and buried their bodies in his backyard.
100%. If you are fooled by the very soft, dulcet tones of Francis Ngannou, then you're a fool. You're an absolute fool, Lewis.
So you're saying you think that Francis Ngannou probably has some sort of secret hidden criminal past?
No, what I'm saying is that we're cage fighters, right? And he hasn't got to this point by knocking a few motherfuckers out along the way. I guarantee when he was doing what he was doing in Cameroon, is it Cameroon he's from? I think it is. Yeah, come on, man. Come on. 100%. Anyway, and I do have a story, but I can't tell. I'll tell you when we finish the show. But okay. Still, it's not for me to tell. But I do have... trust me, I know what I'm saying.
Don't fuck with Ngannou, okay?
I know this. What I'm saying, okay? I'm saying it for a reason. Anyway, no, Francis is awesome, and it's going to be a tremendous fight. I can't wait to see it. I'll be watching that one very, very closely. As I say, I do think Stipe Miocic gets the job done, but I would not be surprised. It's one of those. It's 49 Ngannou, 51 Stipe, do you know what I'm saying? It's that kind of fight. That's what makes it so good. I hope they both make a ton of money. I hope the pay-per-views are through the roof this weekend, because if you're an MMA fan, you got to be watching this. You got to be watching this fight. It's fucking incredible. And as I say, I hope they both make a ton of money and may the best man win.
Very excited about it. We'll see what happens. Brian, do you agree with Harrington?
Yeah, man, Harrington's totally right. I mean, Wait, no, Harrington bet on Ngannou. I don't pay attention when he talks. No, Stipe for sure is going to win. Fourth round TKO sounds good.
Yeah,
I think he's pretty much unbeatable right now, regardless of how freakazoid you are physically.
Yeah. Not a bad pick. I like the fact he doesn't listen to Harrington. All right, let's hear from one of our sponsors, IP Vanish. We are welcoming them back to today's show. IP Vanish have been a longtime sponsor of ours, so it's great to have them back. So let me tell you about IP Vanish. If you care about the security of your online activity, the easiest way to protect yourself is with IP Vanish VPN. What is VPN? It is a virtual private network. And this one is rated 4.5 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot. IP Vanish provides encrypted connections for all your internet traffic, helping to prevent websites, Wi-Fi providers, and even hackers from intercepting your data. And it's very, very important in this day and age. Of course, you don't want people hacking into your bank account, hacking into your Instagram. You know, people are always trying to do that, trying to get into all your little, I don't know what clubs you're a member of, what things you're logged into on your internet. But these people, it's very, very simple in this day and age with a virtual private network. It's way more difficult, if not impossible, Lewis.
It's funny you say that. You're like, oh, I don't know what you belong to and what clubs you belong to. Good. And I want to keep it that way. I don't want Michael Bisping to know. I don't want hackers to know. I don't want the government to know. I want everyone to get out of my business. And this is a great way to do it. There's also certain websites. If you ever noticed, Bisping, you've been traveling and you're like, wait, I can't get into certain websites. If you're using a VPN, a lot of the time you can.
Yeah. Also, if you ever go to Fight Island, there's no porn on Abu Dhabi, okay? VPN, baby. Cruise away. Fucking browse away. Fill your boots. Go crazy. IP Vanish. If, I'm telling you, that's not all they do. They do many, many other things. They will protect your bank data, your personal data, et cetera, et cetera. But that's just another little fringe benefit, Lewis.
Now, listen to me. You want to try this out. Anybody who knows about using the internet uses a VPN, and you can help keep your financial details, personal information, and online activity safe from threats with IP Vanish. And right now you can get started with this limited time offer. Save 50% off monthly and annual subscriptions by going to ipvanish.com/believe. One more time, that's ipvanish.com/believe, all lowercase. Save 50% on monthly and annual subscriptions. Okay, where were we?
All right, co-main event, Vicente Luque taking on Tyron Woodley. It's a tricky one for Tyron Woodley, this. Obviously, we know with Woodley, right, he lost his last three. He was the champ for a long time, lost it to Kamaru, got beat off. Why is my mind going blank? What's it called? He just lost a bloody
Kamaru. He just lost to Kamaru, yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, Gilbert Burns. Sorry, Gilbert. Jesus, I don't know why I went blank there. Yeah, so he lost to Kamaru, he lost to Gilbert Burns, and then he lost to Colby Covington, right? So he's in a bad position, blah, 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 blah. He's 39 years old. Is he getting old and all the rest of it? I don't think it's that. I think what it is, you know, it's mental. It's the mental thing. Even when Tyron Woodley was the champion and he was winning title defenses, he wasn't particularly active in the fights. Yes, he was active in the number of times he was fighting, but he wouldn't throw much. The output was very, very low. Like most of the time, I say it all the time, he just hovers around the perimeter of the fence, you know what I mean, looking for that big one shot. Now, when it lands, great. Look at the Darren Till fight. Connects with Darren Till, drops him, gets a Darce choke. Very, very nice. But he's became a little too reliant on that one big shot. And if he can't get the job done with that, then he kind of folds. What Tyron Woodley needs to do is work on his mindset, because the physicality, the tools, they're all there. He was a very, very good wrestler. He's got the experience. He has a BJJ, sorry, black belt. You know, that's a little suspect, but whatever. He's got a black belt in BJJ. He's a great athlete. You know what I'm saying? He's got all the physical tools that you need. It's this thing that's lacking. And I haven't really seen too much talk about that. I did see him talking about how he's a little hungrier now. He went out there. He let the fame get to him a little bit. He's, you know, he got wrapped up in trying to be a rapper. No pun intended, wrapped up in being a rapper. You know, this is tough. And anyway, going into this fight, I thought this was really good for him when there was two title fights on the line, when we had Alexander Volkanovski and Brian Ortega. Tyron Woodley was just mid-card. Do you know what I mean? And it wasn't really getting too much media attention because there was two big fights. And I thought, this plays into the favor of Woodley. He hasn't got to deal with all the pressure, the spotlight, the media and all the rest of it. He's kind of, you know, there's still some of that, of course, but it, under the radar a little bit. He's mid-card, right? He's not the focal point of the fight night. But of course, because of COVID, Ortega and Volkanovski is off, and Tyron Woodley's yet again thrust into the limelight. Co-main event and a massive pay-per-view. It just adds to the pressure. And the pressure's already there. I mean, we've seen who just got fired off. Junior Dos Santos. Mm. I think Andre Arlovsky. Was it? Or no, Alistair Overeem. Do you know big, big names that aren't putting it together these days that have big price tags? So I think for Tyron Woodley, and far be it for me to speak for the UFC, Tyron Woodley still has value if he loses this fight. Of course he does. But I'm saying four in a row, typically... You know, typically you get your marching papers. You know, that's just what history tells us.
Yeah, I mean, there was a time where Tyron Woodley was, I mean, the truth. He was like the dude where it was like, holy shit, man, he might be able to be. Remember he was talking about moving up to 185 when you were champion? And they, you guys were, it was like such a... Such a it doesn't seem like it was that long ago that Tyron Woodley was considered like top three pound for pound in the world. And now we're talking about him possibly getting cut. Yeah, I never considered how much the pressure of being a co-main event would be. When that fight just was pulled, though, does he have to really deal with the pressure that much, though? Because it's just a week out.
No. I mean, I was thinking about this, the fact that he's got less pressure. I was talking about it a couple of weeks ago on a different podcast or something. One of the many, many television outlets, perhaps. I don't know which one. So many at this point, Lewis.
What were you wearing? That's the important part.
I was wearing a beige tan suit, I believe, on this occasion. Yes, yes. Mm. With a pink shirt. No, for Woodley, yeah, I mean, it does add a little bit of extra pressure. I mean, okay, he's on the poster more. He's on the co-main event. There's all that. The expectations are a little higher. Even just little things like when you're backstage, you know what I mean? He's waiting longer. You know, if you're the main event, you're the last fighter to go out there, obviously. So you have that full night of tension and nerves. You know what I'm saying? Tyron's lost his last three. He knows what's at stake here. He's not an idiot. Tyron Woodley is a very, very smart man. He knows he has to win this fight. And he's got a tough fight on his hands. Vicente Luque, opposite of Tyron Woodley, is a very, very active fighter. He has a high output. He has knockout power. He has a good, diverse striking skill set. He's got good jiu-jitsu and wrestling. And he trains at Sanford MMA with Henry Hooft. What's the relevance in that? Well, that's where Kamaru Usman trained, and that's where Gilbert Burns trains. Mm. So he has a lot of data from his training partners and his coaches that have got up against Tyron Woodley on a number of occasions, numerous times. That's what I was trying to say. Numerous times, numero uno. But still, numerous times, that camp has got ready for Tyron Woodley. And there's certain things that you learn. And then in the fight itself, there's things that they pick up and they learn that they'll pass on to the coaches and they'll pass on to Tyron, Vicente. So there's a lot of things that are leaning towards Vicente in this fight. Of course, for Tyron, he's got the power, right? Vicente has knockout power. Tyron Woodley's got bigger power. But it all comes down to Tyron Woodley. Is he going to go forward? That doesn't guarantee he wins the fight, but it guarantees he loses the fight. If he does what he normally does, just stands there looking for the perfect shot, he's not going to win. He's been training with Antonio McKee. He's a good trainer in Long Beach. His son fights for Bellator. He's a very, very good wrestler. That tells me he's going to wrestle a lot in this fight. And I think Antonio McKee, from what I know of him, isn't going to be a yes man. Isn't going to be the type of guy to let him dictate what he does in training camp. I'm not saying he was doing that before, but still, you have to change things up. In this situation, Tyron Woodley is in a high-pressure emergency situation. If he wants to have a job, if he wants to have a chance of being a world champion again, he has to win this fight.
What's his key to victory on Saturday night? What does he have to do? You're in his corner. What do you tell him?
He's got to be aggressive. He's got to go forward. He's got to mix things up. He's got to use jabs. He's got to mix in takedown attempts here and there. Doesn't even matter if you're successful with the takedown attempts. The fact that you're giving Vicente something to think about, you know what I mean? Get him thinking that you're going for takedowns. Then you come up with a left hook, right hand, whatever. He's got to sprinkle in some kicks. Vicente Luque is going to go out there and kick the fuck out of Tyron Woodley's calf muscle. He does that a lot in Vicente's last fight. He went out there, I forget who it was, but he kicked the shit out of the calf. So he's going to do that. So yeah, Tyron Woodley's got to let it go. He's got to go back to being, you know, that young guy, that hungry guy that has the fire and the passion, the chip on his shoulder, you know, not being the superstar or the rapper or too cool for school. You know what I mean? He's got to go out there. He's got to show the world that he wants it. And if he fights like that, he can win this fight. And if he fights like that, if he fought like that against Kamaru, if he fought like that against Gilbert Burns, by the way, I'm not knocking on their victories, fantastic victories, but they might have gone a little different had Tyron actually fought. Because I don't believe for those last three fights, Tyron Woodley hasn't had a fight in the last three fights. He was there. He was present. He was in the octagon, but he did very little fighting. He did a bit on occasion, but not much.
Yeah, I mean, this is actually a really hard fight to pick because you look at Vicente's record and he's got a really impressive record, but then he sort of loses against the elite guys. He lost to Stephen Thompson. He lost to Leon Edwards. He's got a few impressive victories, but I feel like the guys that are a jump up above everyone else that he's beaten, like Mike Perry, sort of Brian Barberina is a bit, you know, a big name at this point. But I think that there's definitely a jump up in competition between Stephen Thompson and Leon. And I think Tyron is in that elite class. So I don't know. I mean, I'm definitely split on this fight, much more so than I thought. Originally, I was like, you know what? I feel like Tyron's sort of, you know, past his best days. But I don't know, man. Tyron, look, his back's against the wall. He's got to win this fight. He absolutely has to. And maybe there's something to that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree with what you're saying. But just to your point about the two losses in the UFC, Leon Edwards, you know, what, 8-fight win streak, eight fights and an eye poke. The guy's touted as the toughest challenge perhaps for Kamaru Usman's throne. So no shame in that one. Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, last time we saw him against Jeff Neal, looked fucking outstanding. Remember, Wonderboy has two razor close fights, one draw and one split decision loss to Tyron Woodley. So again, and stylistically, Stephen Wonderboy Thompson is a tough nut to crack. So again, you can't really look into that too much. And I'm not sure. I think you got his record there. How many fights? What kind of win streak is he on? Is it like five or six?
He's on a 2-fight win streak. He is, let's see, 19. What we got here? 19. I can't actually see it. It's not showing up.
I was like, this is the worst reading off a screen I've ever seen in my life, Lewis. Yes, I've got it on the screen, but it's in Swahili. Harrington, can you do a better job?
Sure. I mean, I can give you his UFC record. He's 12-3 since joining the promotion. He has won 11 of his last 13 fights with the promotion.
Yeah, and those two losses are
Edwards. Yeah,
Leon Edwards and Steven.
He debuted against Michael Graves on the Ultimate Fighter season finale. But since then, he's been on an absolute tear. I wanted to actually ask you a question here, just stylistically for this fight with somebody like Luque, who is landing over 5 shots per minute. He seems to be applying a ton of pressure and then accepting a lot of damage back, just getting into firefights. With what we've seen with Usman, Burns, and Covington applying a ton of pressure to Woodley and backing him up against the fence, is this the most nightmare style for Woodley to fight right now?
No, not really, because the way Vicente fights, and you just kind of touched on it there, he does allow himself to stay in the pocket a little bit. And against Woodley, that is going to be dangerous. Woodley does have the knockout power with every punch, not a jab maybe, but with the right hand and the left hook, he can knock people out. So can Vicente, but Woodley has an advantage there. But the fact that the style that Vicente likes to fight, he does like to get into a firefight. That's why he's so entertaining. Look at the fight with Mike Perry. You know, I mean, remember Mike Perry's nose was on the other side of his face at the end of it. It was a tremendous fight. And Mike Perry was able to do some damage himself. I think it was a split decision. If you have that kind of fight with Tyron Woodley, there's a possibility you go to sleep. So he needs to have a more disciplined approach. He needs to maintain the distance, maintain, control the range, and still be busier, you know. So it's an interesting fight. Who you got, Lewis? Who you going for?
I'm going to pick Tyron. I think that overall, he didn't become a world champion by having his back against the wall and not being able to deal with pressure. So I think that the fact that he's lost 3 in a row probably goes into his favor going into this fight. And, you know, Vicente, I didn't realize it was a split decision with Mike Perry. All the more reason for me to believe that somebody like Tyron, I feel like that's a much bigger challenge. And I feel like with the bigger challenges, he's had some trouble. And yeah, Tyron's just elite level. We'll see if Vicente can step up and beat Tyron. A lot of people are going to be talking about Vicente Luque.
Harrington and Brian, what say you guys?
Well, I mean, you know, it just I hate to be contradictory at every turn, but I don't know, man. I picked Luque against Stephen Thompson. Maybe I was just, you know, buying the Wolf tickets or whatever, but you know, I believe in him. You know, I think it's going to be an entertaining fight, and I
hope he sees this and that brings a tear to his eye.
Who, Tyron?
No, Vicente.
No, but he picked on Vicente, didn't he?
You yeah, I was Vicente? Saying, no, but I'm saying, like, the way he said it, he was like, I believe in him.
Oh yeah, believe, conceive, achieve, and all that stuff. Yeah, Brian, what do you got?
I don't think Tyron showed up to his last bunch of fights, and I don't think he's going to show up to this one either. I think he's on his way out. Vicente Luque to win. I'm not sure how, but I don't see Tyron showing up.
I'm inclined to think the same way. I know Tyron. I've worked with him for years as well at Fox Sports and things like that. He's, you know, and I wish him, I hope for the best for him. I really do. Because I saw an interview of Tyron and he was talking about how he spent all his money and stuff, you know, because when you're the champion of the world and, you know, he was fighting regularly. He was defending the belt. He defended the belt, against Damian Maia under John Jones versus DC. Big pay-per-views, you know, lots of money coming in. And I think he was spending it fast. You know, I saw some podcast he was on. He was talking about he couldn't decide which Rolex he was going to buy. So fuck it, he bought them both. And he was buying cars and all these rap videos that he did. I think he personally financed those rap videos and stuff, which never, you know, the investment never really paid off, you know. So he kind of got sucked into all that stuff. So now he's kind of like, shit. You know, when the money stops coming in, not that it's not coming in, but he's not winning fights and he's not the champion. So there's a drop off in the amount of money. So he's in a difficult position and he is getting older. He is 39 and time does catch up with everybody. And we have seen it's not just a recent trend. He isn't super aggressive. You know what I mean? Even when he was champion, he was conservative. He has a very conservative approach. He manages his energy systems very well, but he's not active enough. And I think that's going to cost him in this fight. There's a possibility that he gets a knockout, that he lands the right hand, just like he did against Darren Till. But if I had to put my money where my mouth is, I'm saying Vicente Luque. There's a reason why he lost those last three. Is the fire out? It happens. As you get older, you get more civilized. I'm even though I'm a fucking psycho and we have our moments here and there, I'm way different to when I was 25, 26. Do you know what I mean? The fire is diminishing in all of us. Do you know what I mean?
Bisping would have already beat up everybody on the staff if he was 25 when he did this podcast.
Trust me. I used to be a nightmare. I used to be a fucking nightmare. It was okay then because I was fighting. It was like, who gives a fuck? You know, but times are changing. Now I'm showing up to a podcast in a suit. Do you know what I mean?
It's true.
I'm not the same person. And Tyron Woodley is not the same person. He's got civilized. You know what I mean? He's grown up. The insane amount of testosterone running through his body is diminishing a little bit. You know what I mean? He's 39 years old. This is what happens. He's let you level out. And he's becoming more normal. You know what I mean? Becoming a little more. He's plateauing a little bit. And just becoming a more reasonable, sensible fellow. And that is showing up in his fights. And not just that, the more you do it, the more it just becomes another day in the office. You know, when you first get in there and you're like, fucking hell, fucking first time, whoa, UFC, fuck me, man, this is crazy. And you get in there and the adrenaline spike and you're like, let's go, ah! And you go out there and then afterwards, the people are like, so what happened? You're like, I don't know, I need to watch it back because I was off my tits on adrenaline. I have no recollection what happened. But now, the more you do it, it's just, you know, it's like walking the dog or riding a bike and you're nice and calm. All right, come on, dickhead. Let's see what you got. Do you know what I mean?
But is the fire out, or is just the fire being used in a more efficient, smarter way?
I'm not saying I didn't say the fire's out. I'm saying the fire needs stoking.
I was a sad story. I was like, Bisping's fire's out, and
my fire is not out. Trust me. You can see it. The red pocket square.
That's your fire.
That's my fire of my heart. Do you know what I mean? That's why I wear the red pocket square to show the fire's never out, baby. No. The fire, Tyron Woodley's fire needs stoking. Okay. Mm. We need some fire lighters. We need some flamethrowers. We need something, you know? He needs a rocket up his ass.
Yeah. Well, okay. That's the advice from Michael Bisping. Send it over to Tyron Woodley. He needs a rocket up his ass.
No, but he does. He does. Yeah. Maybe not the best choice of words. He's got to come out there and fight, man. He's got to fight. He's got to fucking fight. Tooth and nail. Let it all fucking go. Because I know every time, and I haven't spoken to him, but I know as a fighter, he's been pissed off afterwards, watching those fights back. If I was Tyron, I'd be disgusted in those performances, and I'm sure he is as well. And I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm just saying this is what we do as fighters. We look at that and we say, man. Because you always say, I don't care, as long as you leave it all out there, as long as you really go for it, as long as you really try. And I don't think he did. And it was partly his fault why he lost those fights. He never emptied the tank. He never truly went for it. He never stepped on the gas. That's what he has to do in this fight. Because if he doesn't do that in this fight, not only will he lose, it's gonna affect his lasting legacy. You know, the way that people remember
him. I think he'll probably get cut from the UFC. If he loses four in a row, I mean, you said it before, his price tag, Tyron Woodley is a star, you know, and it costs a lot of money to have him fight for the organization. I could easily see that happening. And I'm not saying it should happen. I'm just saying that when we look at the recent history, I would say it's all but a foregone conclusion.
But the thing is, as I said to my point a second ago, he hasn't been fighting, if you will. Yeah, you know, certainly a few explosive moments here and there, but he hasn't been fighting the whole time. I think if he loses, but he goes for it and he fights and it's entertaining and he fucking did everything he could and he really let go and the fans are on, well, not the fans, the doctor, the commentators and the seven people around the octagon are on the feet, then he might buy himself a lifeline. But he has to fight because he's not fighting, and that you're paying, UFC are paying you to fight. And that sounds like I'm trying to be insulting. I'm not being insulting. I think he'd probably agree with that if he was being honest. He hasn't given the best version of himself. He needs to go out there Saturday night, win or lose. He has to give his best version of himself. Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm actually really excited about that fight. You mentioned before, you made a great point where you were like, it's in the middle of the card. It's sort of a little bit buried. I just forgot it was even happening when we were just talking about the two title fights. So you're very, very right in that, because now I'm getting a little bit pumped for it. So yeah, Saturday night should be a lot of fun. Where are you watching the fights, Bisping?
I'll be watching here at home. I'll be doing a pre-show for ESPN, watching the fights and then walking into here. I tell you, I was saying to Rebecca just before, of course I want the world to go back to normal, but if this was normal time, I'd be wherever the fight's happening. I'd be in Vegas or Boston or Houston or fucking Raleigh, North Carolina, somewhere shit normally. Montevideo, Uruguay. That's where I'd be right now. For the last year, I've just been, all I've got to do is put this on and walk in here. Or if I'm commentating, go to Vegas. And I have absolutely loved it. So yeah, to answer your question, I'll be sat at home.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Best place, best seat in the house.
Yeah, having the girl over, having the boy watch the fights. Should be a good time. Very excited.
Let's get into the Sean O'Malley one real quick. How long have we been going?
Oh,
for?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got Sean O'Malley. The Sugar Show returns.
Yeah. Undefeated Sean O'Malley.
Taking on Thomas Almeida. Thomas Almeida was a tremendous fighter. Let me just bring him up, because I remember when he came to the UFC, he was setting the world on fire. He had a tremendous record. He was doing so good and then kind of dropped off, had some losses. But Sean O'Malley, we know Sean O'Malley came to the UFC from the contender, looked great, knocking everybody out. Who was that guy that he beat? Who did he knock out? Harrington, who did he knock out from WEC?
Eddie Wineland.
The mustache. Eddie Wineland. Tremendous knockout over Eddie Wineland. Then he ran into Chito Vera. Calf kick, peroneal nerve, went numb, fell on the floor, got elbowed in the face and kind of knocked out, or TKO. Since then, he denies that. He says, no, I wasn't beaten. That was bullshit. I'm still undefeated, yada, yada, yada. That's a double-edged sword. That can go both ways. You know what I mean? Because I always say, Donna, when you're undefeated, it's very powerful, you know, because you feel so good. But he isn't undefeated. But in his mind, he's still undefeated. He refuses to accept that. And typically, I'll say, well, you're in denial, and that's going to affect, you know, because you have to man up. You have to be honest with yourself and look at why you got beat and fix those flaws. But in that situation, Chito hit him with the perfect kick, right? He went down and he got elbowed. You know what I mean? Most of the time when those calf kicks land, they're very, very painful, but you got to get it absolutely bang on to hit that nerve the way that it did. So those points of having to rectify the wrongs, you know what I mean? It doesn't really stand up because he got hit with the perfect shot and anybody could get hit with that shot.
Yeah. Well, also, it's kind of funny is at the time when it happened, you know, calf kicks weren't as prevalent as they are right now. Even in a few months, we're just seeing it every fight now. We're seeing people using calf kicks and very effectively, you know? And I think when that happened, it was like, it seemed a little bit more freakish than it seems today, looking back at it.
I said on the commentary the other week, I said it's turning into the ultimate calf kicking championships because they are so prevalent these days. Sean O'Malley, very good, very confident, tall, rangy, excellent striking, decent jiu-jitsu, but he's a striker. And still, even though he lost, I think, you know, the mind's a powerful thing. He refuses to accept that fight was a loss. So he's still in his mind coming into this one undefeated. On the flip side, Thomas Almeida lost his last three in a row. Jonathan Martinez, no shame in losing to him. He's good. Rob Font, very, very good. And Jimmy Rivera, very, very good. So he's lost to three people. Two of those were decisions. I'll say this, going to a decision with Martinez, going to a decision with Jimmy Rivera, they're not easy things to do. So even though he's coming in off three losses, it's still a tough fight for the Sugar Show. What do you say, Harrington?
I mean, it's tough for me because I want, anytime I've ever seen Thomas Almeida in a big spot, Thomas Almeida has failed to deliver. You know what I mean? Like I'm thinking back to the Cody Garbrandt fight. It was essentially whoever wins that fight is like the next guy at 135. And he came up just a little bit short. It feels like Sean O'Malley is a big spot in a big part of a big pay-per-view. I think O'Malley gets it done here.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know. And I think that's, you know, that's kind of what the world thinks. I think, you know, Sugar Sean O'Malley, he's got a tremendous following now. He's very popular, you know. He hasn't dyed his hair this time. It's just a regular blonde. I like it. I prefer the blonde hair, Lewis. Are you a fan of the Takeshi 6ix9ine colors that he does? I think he was just trolling Chito Vera for that fight.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm an old man, so the days of dyeing my hair are long in the past. I used to dye
Days of having hair are long past.
When I was a teenager, I had hair very similar to Sean O'Malley's. Long, curly, crinkly hair. I used to dye it wacky colors. That was awesome.
All right, so who wins this fight?
Yeah, I agree. I think Sean O'Malley's going to win this fight. I think that he's, you know, look, Chito Vera is a very special athlete. You know, and I think that, you know, Sean O'Malley, I don't think it was a freak accident. I think Chito won that fight fair and square. But I think that Sean O'Malley, he does have sort of that, there's something about him. You know, he does have all that confidence. So that confidence he's not faking it. He has all the confidence in the world, and he really does believe that he's world championship material, world championship caliber. And I think that Thomas Almeida, while obviously a great athlete, you know, he's not going to be the guy that stops Sean O'Malley on his journey, in my opinion.
He's definitely got the potential, though, but I'm leaning towards what you're saying. The only thing is, for O'Malley to be in denial about the last fight to Chito, all right, great, that's awesome. But does he really think that? Is he going to go out there and be a little hesitant? Is he going to be obsessing over calf kicks or anything like that? You know, because you can say whatever you want. You know, and I'll give an example. When I was rematching Dan Henderson, I was very confident. I was talking to the media, blah, 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 blah. I'm going to knock him out. He's an old guy. Fuck him, blah, blah, blah. Right? You can lie to everybody. You can ooze bravado at the press conference. You can say whatever you want, but you can't lie to yourself. And then the fight was at 6 o'clock in the morning. And that day, I'm laid in my bed trying to nap. And all I could think about was, fuck, last time I stepped into an octagon with that guy, I got flatlined in front of the whole world. You know, and it makes you a little nervous. Point being, O'Malley might be putting that front on it, you know, but the reality is he did get stopped in his last fight. So is that going to affect him? Only time will tell. But still, given all that, I've still got O'Malley. I think this is a good matchup for him. Almeida on a three-fight skid, you know, it favors O'Malley. He's the taller guy, he's the younger guy, he's the fresher. He's probably at this point a better striker. He's got more momentum. Yeah, Sean O'Malley wins this fight.
All right, beautiful. Let me do plugs real quick, and then we'll do a little hammer fisting.
Let's do it.
All right, you love the show. Go to our iTunes, Google Play, Stitch, or really anywhere you can get a podcast. Just leave us a nice 5-star rating, positive review. We love the great reviews.
7-star.
20-star.
Do it.
Yeah, why not? You guys can subscribe on our YouTube channel as well. Hit the notification button. You get a notification every time a new episode is dropping, which is typically Mondays and Thursdays at midnight Eastern. And last but not least, if you guys want access to the complete on-demand library, every episode of the show that we've ever done, all ad-free, uncensored, and in one place, go to gasdigitalnetwork.com, use the promo code BYM, get a 14-day free trial. Any other things? Oh, yeah, tomorrow night. Friday night, the 26th, I'll be in Fairfield, Connecticut. So go to lewisofskanks.com and grab tickets if you're in the area.
Harrington, okay, let's have a look. You said you had many things to come at us with. And let's make this more like a rapid fire. Let's not, you know, because if you've got quite a few things, let's get through them. Let's get to them because next week they're going to be out of date. But let's, you know, let's go pound, 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 pound. Let's go.
All right. First one up, Tyson. Mike Tyson. Seems like he's passed up according to Holyfield's manager, $25 million guaranteed deal to fight Evander Holyfield on May 29th in Miami. Tyson came out and said that he's not fighting for Triller. He did the one-off with Triller. His next fight is going to be for Legends Fight League. Hasn't been decided yet. It still could be against Holyfield, but $25 million, Mike, can you believe he passed that up?
Yeah, but hold on. Let me ask you. I know I just said let's keep this rapid fire, but I want you to expand on this because obviously I've been busy all morning. I haven't seen the article in question because I heard it was confirmed, then it was off, then it was on, then it was off, then it was on. So is this the latest update? Is this up to the minute accurate?
I mean, I will double check this right now, but as far as I knew, the story was that Mike Tyson was offered a tremendous amount of money by Triller. Triller went out and announced it like they already had a done deal. I guess they did not. Tyson pulled out of the deal. And Holyfield's management is saying he walked guaranteed $25 million. And like I said, Tyson, I think, is still trying to keep this fight intact for his promotion. Just the fact that it's a $25 million deal in the end of May.
Yeah, because I saw Tyson talking yesterday saying, yeah, promoters, they've come in and offered all this money. He said, I don't need a promoter. Why do we need a promoter? The point he was making is that he's Evander Holyfield. I'm Mike Tyson. Why do we need a promoter? So I think it's more that. I don't think it's the $25 million that he's turning down. I mean, that's a large sum of money. But I don't know how it works, but maybe the promoter's going to have his fingers in that. Maybe he's going to take a large chunk of the pie, right? And I don't know. I'm not sure of the specifics. But he's... The problem was having a promoter. And he's right. Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield, they don't necessarily need a promoter, but they do need a promotion. They do need someone to put the fight on. They need someone to handle the TV deal, someone to distribute it and promote it, if you will, on social media and do all that shit. Because Tyson ain't going to do that. You need to be focusing on the camp. But still, I do want to see it, regardless of the fact that they're both way past their primes. I'll hand it over to you, Lewis. I would love to see it. And what was your question? 25 mil, would I turn that down? Is that what you said?
Yeah, can you believe anyone would turn down 25 million?
People do. People do. People turn down big lot. Yeah.
If you're already worth 100 million and it doesn't matter, like, look, obviously $25 million is a massive amount of money, but Tyson doesn't need the money. Tyson, his kids are going to be set. Like, his kids' kids are going to be set. Tyson is extremely rich, extremely wealthy. I think he just from his weed business, is probably a fucking multi-millionaire. So I'm not, you know, I don't think he needs it. I think he's doing the smart thing, which is, hey, why would I have a middleman come in and take the lion's share? I know what I'm worth. I know what he's worth. And if he's going to say no to $25 million, it's probably because he knows that he can make more than that.
And a potential devil's avocado. And by the way, I'm not saying this because I'm a massive fan of Mike Tyson. But let's remember the other thing, the elephant in the room. He's also got to fight Evander Holyfield. Do you know what I mean? And maybe at his age, he's like, fuck, I don't know. I don't think Mike Tyson's ducking anybody. I think he would probably fight anybody anytime, even at his age. But still, you know, you got to remember, the $25 million isn't coming very easily. He's still got to go out there and fight Evander Holyfield. But still, sorry, I'm going to completely contradict myself. A man like Tyson doesn't give a fuck, just like I wouldn't, you wouldn't. Most people wouldn't give a shit. $25 million, I'll take a few punches in the head for that. I just hope they do it, though. I'd like to see it. A little bit of nostalgia. Two over-the-hill boxers, but it's fucking Tyson and Evander Holyfield. Absolute legends of the boxing game. Simple as that.
All right.
$10 million. Hold on. Just a separate little side note. Hammer fisting with Lewis for a second. $10 million. You have to last a full 5 minutes in the cage with Francis Ngannou. You got to last. You got to fight him. Small cage.
Easy.
Little tiny cage.
Easy.
How do you do it?
you don't fucking fight him.
You don't engage.
No, you can dance. I reckon I could dance around. I've got better footwork than Francis. Come and catch me, you cunt. Even though I've got two bad knees. Even with my knees, I'll fucking zig and zag. I'll dominate Cruz it all fucking day long. I'll be like Willie Pep in there. You know what I mean? I'll be two-stepping. I'll be foxtrotting. I'll be fucking doing the worm. You know what I mean? I'll be fucking rolling over, backward somersaults. I'm like, what the fuck, Francis? Come on, boy. Let's go. I'll be sitting on top of the cage smoking a cigarette. The cunt's going to be looking for me all over the place. I'm just not going to be there. And I'll be counting down that clock, taking that check to the bank, yeah. Harrington, what else you got? Sorry, Francis. I didn't mean to call you a cunt. I was just in the flow.
Come catch me. Come catch me, you cunt.
He's going to get me.
Oh, it's lovely. All right. Leon Edwards offered his opinion on the rematch between Jorge Gamebred Masvidal and Kamaru Usman coming up next month. Edwards had this to say: I can't see what Masvidal can do differently. He's going to come out again and do what he does, swing for the fence, try to knock him out. Usman is going to have a high guard and just grapple him. I just can't see what Masvidal does differently unless he catches Usman and knocks him out. Just can't see how he does it any differently. Luis J. Gomez, do you agree? Is there any path to victory for Jorge Masvidal other than what Leon Edwards is giving him in this fight?
I mean, no, he's not going to out-grapple him, obviously. You know, and to be honest with you, he's going to have a hard time out-striking him. Kamaru Usman's boxing's looked really, really incredible. Super athletic. He's got one path to victory, which is, catching him. And he can do that. I mean, we saw him fucking take Ben Askren's head off. He has knockout power. He's an extremely explosive fighter. It's not without question that he can do that. That's how he wins the fights that he wins. But I just don't see it being likely. But we had the same conversation earlier tonight about Ngannou and Stipe. It's almost a similar sort of fight and a similar sort of matchup when you really look at it. Could he do it? Yeah, of course. Obviously, he could do it. Will he do it? I don't think so. If I had to put my money on him, I'm going to put my money on Kamaru.
Yeah, what you got to realize, and by the way, I'm not slagging off Leon Edwards. Leon's annoyed, right? Because Jorge is getting the shot at the belt again after just losing the shot. So there's a little bit of emotion for the reason that Leon would say that, I would assume, you know, and I understand his emotions for it, you know, because he wants the shot, he's earned the shot, and Masvidal gets two on the trot. You know what I mean? It's frustrating, but I also get why they do it. I also understand why Kamaru wants it. Kamaru wants to say, listen, he's got an excuse right now. He's saying he took the fight on short notice. I want to beat him properly off a full camp so I can hear the end of Masvidal for good. To your point, Luis, I kind of agree with what you're saying, but Masvidal, whilst being the better striker, doesn't have Ngannou kind of power. Yeah, he can knock people out. He caught Ben Askren with that knockout and he flatlined Darren Till. But prior to those, he wasn't knocking everybody out. Now, something that did change, something did click. And of course, you got the stoppage of Nate Diaz as well. He seemed to have had a resurgence and looking better, a newfound confidence, whatever it was. But Kamaru, I think he wins this fight again. You know, no disrespect to Masvidal. Who knows? I hope so. I hope Masvidal goes out there and makes it a really exciting fight. But if I had to put my money on at this early stage, I can't see a path to victory. Certainly, as you said, Lewis, Usman's striking is evolving big time. That jab is powerful. And he's in the flow. He's got the momentum. You know, he's beating everybody, beating all the top contenders. And, Kamaru Usman is a force to deal with at welterweight.
Harrison. And the confidence with the win over Masvidal already. And Masvidal has it in his head that, look, this guy's already beaten me.
Lewis? Harrington?
Okay. Leon hopped in there, actually. It wasn't so much about missing out on the Usman title fight. It was about the fact that he hasn't gotten Masvidal yet. He said, after the three-piece in the soda, I thought for sure, okay, that's the next fight straight away and have to have it be two and a half years. We still ain't fought yet. I've been calling him out ever since, and the UFC wants it, but he just keeps turning it down, saying that he don't want to fight. Guys, do you think if in the instance that Masvidal loses this fight, Leon Edwards is going to take on Jorge Masvidal or Kamaru Usman?
Well, I like what you did there. You tried to throw a little bit of shade, but I guarantee fucking tea, as someone that's been in there, Harrington, the reason why Leon is saying this stuff is because fucking he hasn't got the title fight that he feels that he deserves. Of course, he wants to fight Masvidal because Masvidal essentially assaulted him backstage at a UFC event. Sorry, what was the question, though?
I'm asking, who do you think it's a bigger priority for him to fight next? Jorge Masvidal or Kamaru Usman? For Leon Edwards. Leon Edwards doesn't look, these two are fighting next month.
Who it depends, doesn't it? It depends which hat you put on, right? If you've got the hat as a human being, as a person, you want to fight Masvidal because the guy, as I say, he essentially assaulted him. If you're looking at it from a professional standpoint on what is best for your career, then you want to fight for the belt. Because, you know, fighting Masvidal, that's great. And who knows, tough fight for Leon as well. But fighting for the belt trumps everything. But if you just want to solve some fucking good old-fashioned business, then you want to get all the fucking Masvidal and settle that. Because, as I say, it is crazy, to Leon's point, it is crazy that, what, 2 years or 2 and a bit years that fight hasn't materialized. You know what I mean? Because I would have thought that was a lock to happen pretty quickly.
If I'm Leon Edwards, I want the title. You want to know how you beat Masvidal? Masvidal loses the title shot to Usman, right? And you go and beat Kamaru Usman. And then no matter, even if you never fight Jorge Masvidal ever in your life, if that fight never materializes, you get to go, look, dude, I did what you couldn't fucking do. And you have that. No matter, that two pieces on it doesn't mean shit if you have the world title and you are on the cover of every magazine and you're on
What about if he has a three-piece in a soda?
Ooh, you know what? You never said three-piece in a soda.
Masvidal said it.
You're right. Hey, you know what? I take it all back.
The two-piece. No one cares about the two-piece, Lewis. The three-piece is next-level stuff. You know what I mean? Go on, Harrington. What else you got?
Oh, that's very fun. All right, two former Bantamweight champions have main events in May coming up, both fight nights. TJ Dillashaw is making his long-awaited return against Corey Sandhagen. And Cody Garbrandt is taking on Rob Font. Guys, which one sees the winner having a better shot at a title shot?
It's easy. Dillashaw versus Corey Sandhagen. There you go. Lewis?
That's the right answer.
Yeah. Who was the other one? Rob Font versus, sorry?
Garbrandt.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, Garbrandt and Rob Font are tremendous fighters. Of course, Garbrandt's former champion. But right now, TJ Dillashaw, he was the champion prior to being stripped. Right, he got knocked out trying to get the 125 strap, and he's proven that he is at the top of the pile. You know, he's one of the best. And Corey Sandhagen, you know, beat who was it? I know he just spinning wheel kicked. Who did he spinning wheel? I know he just knocked out Frankie Edgar, and who was the other one? Yeah, two Marlon tremendous Marais. Wins. Marlon Moraes. Yeah, that's the one. That's the one.
I agree. I just want to. All right. So then, if Garbrandt gets the win here and O'Malley gets the win here, is it time to book that fight?
Yeah, sure. Of course. Those guys don't like each other. It's always good when you have guys that actually hate each other when they get to finally match up.
I'd like to see that because remember when O'Malley knocked out Eddie Wineland and Cody Garbrandt knocked out, who was it? I forget. Rafael Assunção. They were both on the same fight card. And then afterwards, O'Malley went out there and he put that video on there, kind of mocking Garbrandt's knockout. And to be honest, if O'Malley wins this weekend, he has to start fighting some of those people now. Do you know what I mean? He's kind of, I get it. He came from the contender. He's a tremendous prospect. So you take your time with them and you let them build, you know. But I think it's been a couple of years now. How long has he been in the UFC? 2 or 3 years. Mm. Now it's time. He's had the nurturing. He's had the build-up fights. He's had the time to get the experience. Now he's talking shit to guys like Garbrandt. Now it's time. If he wins this fight, now it's time to let him go in there and try and back up those words. And I'm just saying that because I want to see that fight because Garbrandt versus O'Malley, that'd be sick.
That's a huge fight. Yeah, a huge step up in competition, obviously. But either you're the best or you're not the best. Like, are you the best in the world? Are you absolute elite level? And to be honest with you, I do believe O'Malley believes that of himself, you know? So at this point, I think it does make a lot of sense. That's exciting as we talk about it. I want to see both these guys win their matchups now just so we can see that fight happen.
It's a good fight.
It's also crazy to think about it because O'Malley did have that year off, but he actually joined the UFC, burst on the scene in 2017. So, yeah, you're right. It is time for him to, like, make a jump up. If you're going to be a contender, now's the time.
Four years is enough to develop. I mean, it used to be when you got to the UFC, there you go. I remember Joe Silva telling me I was at a bar in Belfast. There was a UFC event on, and afterwards he was saying, you know, people want to get to the UFC. It's like, well, there you go. You're fighting Chuck Liddell. There you go, you know. But now it's a little different. You know, guys come in and they fight similar level guys and they build up, you know, until they get the big fights. Because they've got rankings and things like that. Never used to be the case. But still, after 4 years, if he wins again this weekend, yeah, it's time. You know, as you said, you're either ready or you're not. What are you going to do? Keep floating around the fringes, picking off lower guys until you feel confident. And by the way, O'Malley does feel confident. He was calling for a fight for Cody Garbrandt Cody Garbrandt. So, yeah, I want to see it.
Yeah. Also, I know Brian texted me. He has a couple things that people sent in content-wise, I guess.
All right. Well, let's do one more. What's that, Harrington, about a Ford Escort? What do you put in there?
Oh, when you were talking about Francis Ngannou, the quote with Ngannou is he hits as hard as a Ford Escort going at its top speed. So the Ford Escort is a top speed of 96 miles per hour, which is, 96 horsepower, which is the same as an Ngannou uppercut.
Top speed is like 160 miles an hour. Ngannou does not hit at a car.
Listen, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you right now. And I'll ask you as well, Lewis. And I'll ask you, Harrington. If somebody said, we're going to give you a choice, right? I'm sorry. but you've got to pick one. Either Francis Ngannou punches you in the face, or I'm going to drive a car at you at 160 miles an hour. Which one do you want?
We're picking Francis Ngannou all day long.
Let's go, baby boy. Fucking knock me out, Francis, because I might survive that.
Let a fucking Ford Fusion roll over my head at 150 miles an hour. It's not happening.
150 mile an hour car, you're dead. You're in about 50 pieces. You know what I mean?
Ngannou hits hard, but he's never killed. He can't explode a deer by punching it.
Alistair Overeem was about as close as that got, but he went on to have a decent career after it. He lived. He was okay. I'm taking that punch all day long. Go on, Harrington. Hit us with your best shot. One more.
Top speed of a Ford Escort 110, would still not want to get hit by it. All right, this one is a very silly one. Louis J. Gomez, I'm going to go to you first. Luke Rockhold says Khabib Nurmagomedov wants to be in his corner, wants to help him with Rockhold's MMA comeback. If you were Khabib in Rockhold's corner, what advice would you give him to win his next fight?
First of all, I didn't know he was having an MMA comeback. Did he leave?
Well, I mean, yeah. He hasn't fought in, 2 years now? Something like that?
I don't even know how long it's been. The advice that I would, if I was Khabib.
Yeah. Whatever it is, don't take it, Luke. Don't take it, but please, brother, give me your advice.
Like, you must come on my new podcast. My new, we are going to talk about very funny things. That's what I would have him come on my brand new Serbian podcast or whatever it was.
Yeah, Dagestan. Dagestani. I think it's great, actually. I think Luke, you know, I'd actually like to see Luke make a run, if not nothing more than my own fucking ego. So I can say, yep, look at that. I beat him. Having someone like Khabib in his corner could make all the difference. From what I understand, Luke kind of runs his own camps a little bit. And having someone, obviously now he's working with Jason Perillo, to have Khabib come in and work on not only the wrestling side of things, the how you structure the camp and the things you work on, and just to be there, that little annoying voice on the shoulder, telling him off, telling him what he needs to do, telling him when he needs to train and when he not needs to train, and how to approach the fight and the strategy and everything. I think that could be huge. And it might just be what Luke Rockhold needs, because he's got the tools, he's got the skills, he's got the physical attributes, you know, but there's just, obviously, something was missing, perhaps the ability to take a left hook. But still, it might just be that. That might be what he needs. You know, I'd like to see Luke come back and make a run for it.
I would just teach him how to defend the left hook. That would be my main concern.
The thing is, not all left hooks are created equally.
No can defend.
No, best takedown in the game. All right, Brian, thank you, Harrington. Much appreciated, mate. Brian, you say you got a couple of fan questiones. What have we got?
Well, we have USC Beats sent this in, and he's curious on how this got an okay from you.
What do you mean? That's a very accurate depiction of me. I mean, that is, if I took my shirt off right now, I mean, okay, I'm a little slim on that, but generally that's like the physique I'm rocking these days. And back in the day, the haircut was accurate.
It looks like a Nazi action figure.
Yeah, I mean, the head is like way too long.
To be honest, I never got a say in any of that stuff. Yeah. What was the name of the company that did that? Yeah, Jax. Jax, that's right. And there's a few more on the market that are a bit more accurate, shall we say. But as I say, when that came out and I saw it, I was like, okay, all right, I'll take it. You know what I mean? That's what you're making me look like. Fair play.
We need some Believe You Me action figures.
Anybody wants to make them? Feel free. Do we have any like real questions or anything? Something we can
We got a song, Brian? I heard.
Oh.
Yeah, no real questions, but somebody did send in a rap song. And give me one second.
Let's rap on the song.
Ladies and gentlemen, referee John McCarthy's called a stop to this contest at 3 minutes, 36 seconds of the very first round. Declaring the winner by knockout.
Oh, this is going to be good, I can tell.
UFC middleweight champion of the world, Michael
Bisping. Coming in.
Riding in on no coattails. Quit is never win. No, I went and broke my own tail. Get my room ready at the hotel. Got a fight, credit card, and a white face. So well, taking out the garbage like it's trash day. So you better work harder. Might just be your last day. About to catch an interview backstage. I can see it in your good eyes. Starting to miss that cage. Believe you me, it's the count. I ain't talking about 1, 2, 3. Can't forget about Lewis, that's a must you that's see. Must we you got see. Harrington and Bryan sitting behind those seats.
This is good.
It's the red, white, and blue, just two different schemes. Fire my gas digital, 2 days a week. The podcast on every platform, listen for free.
This is the intro song.
Truth be told. It's the MVP. You ain't gotta believe them to believe you me. Monday, Thursday, tune in, believe you me.
Believe you me.
I love it.
I love it. It's great.
Believe you me.
Believe you me.
Does it come back in? I feel like it's gonna come back in. Is that the end?
Maybe. I don't know.
Believe you me.
Oh, I thought he was coming back in with another sick fire beat. A little rhyme, a little rap attack. A little short though, a little short. I expected another verse. I'm sorry. I was going to say put it on as the intro or the outro, but
well, that would be way too long of an intro already.
Only one bar, man. I refuse to accept anything less than two bars. Sorry. I appreciate the effort though. No, that was awesome. That was great. That was really good. Who sent that in, Brian? Let's give the man some props. We got to do that. We can't let him send that in. And do me a favor, email me that, please, Brian. I'll share on all social media channels. And so we are wrapping up towards the end of the show. I hope you... Backward Brad. I mean, maybe that's... if you don't call yourself Backward Brad, maybe you'd be on Top of the Pops. Maybe you'd be a famous rapper by now. Change your name. That's what I'm saying. Backwards Brad. How about Forwards Brad?
Every little boy in this country is dreaming about being on Top of the Pops.
All right, that's dead. That's an English TV show that used to be on back in the day. But you know what I mean. It's an expression. Enjoy the fights this weekend. Backwards Brad, thank you very much for the song. Very, very nice. Harrington and Brian, thank you very much. Luis J. Gomez, what say you?
Thank you very much, my brother. Have fun. Enjoy the fights this weekend. We will check you guys on Monday. Until then, have yourselves a great time. Good night.